Let us listen to the Gospel according to Mark. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed will sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the grain, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shed." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them. As they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. Friends, this is the gospel of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious word, gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, I bring you thanks and giving glory and honor to God, who has called me into ministry in the United Methodist Church. I give thanks to all of you here who have supported me in various ways by your presence, by your gifts, and by your prayers. To all of my Cox family members, I am grateful because you have created the space and opportunity for me to respond to God's call and to practice what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I rejoice in this season of my life, my ordination as a deacon in full connection in the North Texas Conference of our church. Really, brothers and sisters, I ask myself, what is ordination? What difference does it make in the work that I do as a chaplain in Children's Medical Center in Dallas? Ordination is the completion of a journey towards becoming a clergy, a minister in the church. It is a long, hard journey filled with so much work, twists, and turns. It is also, brothers and sisters, a celebration of God's abiding presence and faithfulness. The church lays hands on you and sends you forth to become a representative in the world of the church's mission and the presence of God. How awesome and also how humbling to be able to be the one who extends the table, the altar in the church to the world. As a deacon, that is what my work involves. Our text today from Mark's gospel is a parable. Friends, parables are stories, and some of the stories that we have are about journeys. Journeys have lows and highs. One can encounter rough paths, mountains and valleys in journeys. Mine have been with great joy for this great community of faith that I have found myself. Mine also has had and seen loneliness since moving from my native country, Nigeria, 17 years ago. And also, friends, as some of you will know, we have also had to deal with the illness of a chronic child for a long time. This also has challenged and grown our faith on this journey. Mark compares the kingdom of God to seeds and fruit and growth. God, in his infinite mercy, has made an investment in each of us by saving us and calling us to be in relationship with him. If we remember, and I will read from the service of ordination, that ministry is the work of God, done by the people of God. Through our baptism, all Christians are made to be part of the priesthood of all believers, the church. Christ's body, which we are, we make visible in the world. We share in Christ's ministry of love and service for the redemption of the human family and the whole of creation. The title of my sermon today is Altars in the World. I believe that we are the presence of God in the world. We are in ministry because of our baptism. We are the people who represent the presence of God wherever we may be found. As members of Christ's body, the church, on this third Sunday of the season of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is our power in this personal work of transformation. This personal work that can be difficult, but is also lifelong in our community. We hear from Mark's gospel the risk, the waiting involved, and the fact that we do not bring growth. We are not in control. We walk, and God adds the increase. Sometimes, Mark says, while we are asleep. We, the church, are the channel, the seed that is growing, spreading our branches in the world through works of mercy, righteousness, and peace. The work of the kingdom, which includes feeding the hungry, providing shelter for the homeless, touching the sick with Christ's healing balm, consoling the sorrowing, visiting those in prison, and welcoming the stranger. Friends, God comes to us and dwells among us in our ordinary daily lives. We cannot control God's presence. We are to image God, to be God's incarnate by how we live daily in our life. In our world today, we tend to like to follow after successes and significance. Jesus' call in Mark's gospel and our participation is the evidence of God's presence in our world. This call is about faithfulness, it's about patience, and it's about perseverance. This call is sometimes found in secret, in insignificance. We are to identify the presence of God's kingdom, which is already active in our midst. We are to connect to the places where God is already walking. Jeff gave examples of what our family, the Cox Chapel family, is doing through visions of change. I know that you also can think of examples in your community, how God's presence, how the table, how the altar is extended everywhere where you live. I don't know about you, but for me, the evidence abound, and I've been embraced and loved when walls of differences go down and we all become one in Christ. Through a common bond of brokenness shared in the community of faith, I have experienced the presence of God. We are sustained in this community, and thus there are fruits like the growing seeds, and the reward of our lives shows the joy that is possible when we live as the presence of God. My example of this joy that is shared in my heart at this time is the celebration of my ordinations. Friends, God has been very good to me. It's a celebration that is not mine alone. It's a celebration that is made possible by us being one, by us joining together to affirm that I have been called by God and the church is the one who is sending me to form altars or to extend the table outside the church. For that, I am grateful. I've also experienced the presence of God when in heavy moments of pain and despair, through the companion of all of you who dared to weep with me, those who sat and rejoice at the birth of all our children, and those who mourned with me at the death of loved ones and other sacred times. We are the body of Christ, and the presence of God have been for me in these places. Other examples of our work is in providing stoves and the healing through education in many faraway places. Cox Chapel community does show the presence of God in the world by serving the poor, the sick, the lonely, the rejected. We live lives that say that the Spirit of God is alive and active, even on this season of Pentecost. People continue to encounter Jesus in us through this daily walk. The house of God, which starts from the table and the altar, then becomes the house of all and is made real to people who are outside the walls of our church. Friends, this Sunday is also Father's Day, a day when we reflect on the important role of a guiding parent. From our text today, I am reminded that the job of a parent is also to plant and nurture seeds. The growing seed and the mustard seed parables are good examples for fathers and for parents. These parables remind us of how much influence parents can have on their children, for either good and bad. We are reminded as fathers that it's not all up to us. Fathers do have help beyond themselves. While they slept, increase occurred. The result happened despite the work that the fathers or the parents did. Friends, if you're like me as a parent, some parents are too controlling and want to tell the seed what kind of plant to become. Some parents are too lax and don't help to create good conditions for their seeds to grow. Why other parents are like the sower in the parable of the growing seed. They sow and they wait with patience. I don't know what kind of parent or father you are. Mark uses the Jesus' parable of the growing seed to provide fodder, comfort for those who are guiding the church of Jesus Christ. The church in Mark's time is not different from the church today. If you have been listening to news or you have been participating with what has been happening in the global church, the just concluded General Conference of the United Methodist Church made people more anxious than any other thing. And if you had to bring it home more, the North Texas Conference that was just completed even made people feel more fear. But I want to tell you, church leaders and members alike, that feeling vulnerable and helpless is not new to the church. It was in the time of Mark's gospel and is still now. So seeds have something to tell us about anxiety. And small as they are able to grow and sprout even in tough times. So Jesus chooses to talk about the kingdom using this imagery of seeds and shows us that God's rule can be experienced as something hidden, something indirect, something surprisingly in its manifestation. Maybe there is something for us to learn in a time in the church from the seeds and the parable. We have experienced God's presence like that in many times. We know and we also feel that God's kingdom is near and is breaking into the ordinary places we live and move. Our resistance is that it's not the way we want it to be. It's not with the funfare, and it's not with the glory that we know. But the image of the seed, with its strangeness, with the size, the kingdom of God tends to transcend our attempt to define it or confine it in a box. Mark wants us as fathers, as disciples, to know that God's purposes, though not visible, is still present. That present in the way of love that we live with each other. Mark encourages us to walk for God's kingdom and reign in small places, to pray, to continue to act for change in the world around us. Parables, as we know it and as the one that we have read, invokes other connection with text, even the text from Samuel, which is another text that could be read today, tells us about the story of little David when Samuel had to go to David's father's house, Jesse. David's father lined up all his sons, his six sons, and Samuel went through them and wanted to anoint a new king over Saul. But the Spirit of God said no to the first one, no to the second one, and went down the list until he came to little David. And David was anointed the new king of Israel after Saul. You see, the humble mustard seed that becomes a shrub leads us to think about God's care like a flourishing tree. So why will Mark use such a tree rather than a big old tree or a magnificent cedar? I think Jesus' parable in that sense calls us to experience God's reign into our everyday life, not the way that we're used to, the way that the Holy Spirit usually works. This is also the call to remember that the kingdom of God has his own time, has his own ways, and has his own rate of growth. We are invited more so to look beyond what we see and what we hope for, to practice using the eye of faith. We live out the parables by faithful discipleship, even in these insignificant, unknown ways, as explained in the mustard seed. We too can grow and nurture the fruits of future would-be disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to be one people of patience and people who will trust no matter what. These hard places that we experience, this anxiety, these times of fears in the church or in our family, points themselves towards the reality of the kingdom of God already existing in our midst. For God's call is first to an individual, is to me, is to you. By the time of your baptism, God calls you. But God's call is not just, it doesn't remain to the individual. God calls us through others, just like in the story of David, where Samuel went to anoint David, just like in my story, where the church laid their hands on me on the occasion of ordination. But that call doesn't stay there. The Holy Spirit then sends us out when we are called to go out and to extend the church outside the walls of the church. This concept of call is very difficult because usually, sometimes it's painful. Most times, it takes us out of our usual ways of life. It challenges us to do things differently, to present or to be the presence of God in ways that we're not used to. The Holy Spirit is our help. God does not leave us on our own self. Why sometimes we are sleeping, God is working for the increase if we are faithful. Brothers and sisters, the gospel in our text is that the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes is available to all. We cannot answer God's call without a relationship with Jesus Christ. God calls us to start in that place so that then we can extend God's table to the world and we can make altars where people can enjoy the salvation that we have found. The message of the kingdom is a small seed, but when planted in an open heart, it produces salvation. Our role, our work, our task is to take this gospel and plant it in people's lives and watch God grow it. Brothers and sisters, will you be the disciples that will take the gospel, plant it in the lives that you encounter, and watch God grow it? May the Lord add blessings to the hearing of God's word. Amen.